Welcome to this Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I'm delighted to be joined today by Niamh McCarthy, who's Director of Climate-Related Risk at Climate Advisors. Welcome to the podcast, Niamh.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
We're going to be talking about a new report from the Orbitas Initiative, a report into Brazil's cattle sector. Niamh, why don't you start by giving us a very brief bit of introduction to Orbitas Initiative?
Orbitas is an initiative of Climate Advisors, which is a global climate change consultancy. The Orbitas approach combines traditional financial analysis with forward-looking economic modeling in order to better understand the land sector risks and opportunities related to climate change. We focus primarily on climate transitions, which are the government, private sector, and civil society actions needed to respond to climate change. And our goal here really is just to provide forward-looking information to enable climate-smart decision-making, which is especially important when historical data can't accurately capture the future impacts of climate change.
Okay, so what were the headline conclusions from your new research?
The biggest takeaway from our research is that the future of the Brazilian cattle sector will look very different from the past. As the physical impacts of climate change intensify, climate transitions will accelerate and introduce disruptive and sector-wide risks, but they can also create significant opportunities. And these are opportunities that producers, supply chain companies, and investors can all capitalize on. For example, a future with climate transitions could lead to lower overall production output and a higher reduction in available pasture land, but it could also lead to a significant increase in yields and producer prices. We found that those that prioritize sustainable efficiency improvements and diversify revenue streams can build resilience and reduce the likelihood of financial losses. But for low efficiency producers, and especially those reliant on land use conversion for growth within their business models, they may need to consider other agricultural activities and revenue streams. And one final thing that I'll note here is that we found the potential for mobilizing significant capital investments for the sustainable technology and practices that really could transform the cattle sector, and also investments in other agricultural activities, which present major opportunities for those who are proactive.
So who was involved in this research and why were they involved?
Through Orbitas, we've been able to build a collaboration across a wide range of PhD economists, financial modelers, climate scientists, and researchers, in addition to the in-house climate-related risk team we have here at Climate Advisors. We also worked with an organization called Apply Brazil to conduct a series of interviews across agribusinesses, across investors, regulators, and civil society within Brazil. And the purpose of that was really to make sure that we considered a range of perspectives even beyond the 15 authors that we've included in the report.
How would you characterize the Brazilian beef sector right now?
So the Brazilian cattle sector is responsible for almost 10% of Brazil's GDP. It employs over 3 million people. So first and foremost, it's really important that we consider how the people involved can build resilience and maintain livelihoods in the face of climate transitions. From a climate perspective, the cattle sector is interesting in that it's both extremely exposed to climate risks, and it's also a major contributor to Brazil's greenhouse gas emissions. And this means that actions taken to mitigate the worst impacts of climate change will significantly reduce the risks of physical climate impacts on the one hand, but on the other hand, they drive up transition risks for emission-intensive producers in particular, and those that rely on deforestation for growth. It's also important to note here that Brazil is set to play a major role on the global stage in the coming years when it comes to climate action. They're set to host the United Nations Conference of Parties, or the COP30, in 2025. So Brazil really does have an opportunity to lead on climate change action, including through ambitious actions that they could take to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, actions that they could take to reduce deforestation, and all of these actions could accelerate climate change.
And is there an appetite to take that lead, do you think, in the sector and Brazil more generally?
Yeah, I would say so. I think the election of President Lula da Silva has really heralded in a new age for action related to deforestation in particular. There's significant appetite to invest in the bioeconomy in Brazil and to show Brazil to be a climate leader on the world stage. So I'm really excited to see the types of policies that could be enacted in the coming years And it's especially important to note in a world where over 140 countries have committed to ending deforestation by 2030 that we're in a really pivotal time for climate action in this space.
Yeah, it does feel that the world needs Brazil to be taking a lead in these matters. And the transition from Bolsonaro to Lula da Silva is hopefully a good sign. What does the future look like for the beef sector in Brazil?
In order to assess what the future could look like if the Brazilian cattle sector does not take action to prepare for climate transitions, we used data from producers across Brazil, and we looked at how current profitability rates would be impacted by economic stress events that are common under climate transitions. So we simulated shocks to price and to transportation costs, and we found that most producers would face a more than 80% chance of profitability loss if they don't take action to either sustainably increase production efficiency or to diversify revenues by 2050. And what this means is that current profitability rates could leave producers exposed to short-term economic shocks, in addition to the longer-term economic trends that we're seeing in our report. We then did a case study on how current profitability across different types of cattle producers would fare under our transition scenarios. And we found that producers that have low levels of production efficiency, higher costs for transporting products, and those that have ties to illegal deforestation could face the most risk. And we also saw regional variations in risk across the country in Brazil. Now, the good news here is that the sector has the information needed to start preparing for climate transitions and mitigating these risks. But the key here really is early action in order to increase resilience.
So the report is titled Brazil's Cattle Sector Amidst Climate Transitions. What are climate transitions? What can you tell me more about those?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because this is an area that I think a lot of us are still trying to understand better in the risk community. Climate transitions represent our collective response to climate change. What actions are needed to mitigate the absolute worst impacts of climate change and to limit global temperature rises to 1.5 or 2 degrees above pre-industrialized levels? So these actions in themselves can financially impact businesses. And the main avenues for impact are reputational, technology, market, and policy and legal risks. And each of these risks have a corresponding opportunity for market leaders. So on the reputational side, if companies are found to have links to deforestation, for example, they can lose brand value. But market leaders can also benefit from sustainable practices. On the technology side, we could see new planting technologies increase yields. But we could also see technology that could siphon off demand, like in the case of alternative and plant-based proteins. From a market perspective, we could see consumer preferences for deforestation-free beef and company supply chain policies that could limit access for some to certain markets. But deforestation-free suppliers could also benefit, and they can grow market share within the sector. And then similar risks are evident on the policy side. I think you talked about the EU deforestation regulation recently on this podcast as well. So supply chain due diligence regulations and policies that prevent the importation of deforestation-linked commodities can also restrict market access for some and lead to increases in market share for others. And these are just a couple of examples, but they do demonstrate how climate transitions can materially impact the Brazilian beef sector. And we're already seeing some of these materialize today.
Yes, we have talked about the EU's deforestation regulation quite a lot on the podcast. Clearly a big issue. So how much is the Brazilian cattle sector changing to be in compliance with that?
So I would say that it represents a major trend in climate transition risks and opportunities. And that trend is accelerating. It's not just the EUDR that is included in supply chain due diligence regulations. Other regions are also discussing regulations in this area that require some sort of certification for deforestation-free supply chains. Sustainably focused export markets could become a major focus area, as our modeling suggests that Brazil may become more reliant on exports. And we, even under a 2-degree aligned scenario or a 2-degree world, we found that Brazil could have an opportunity to increase exports by 9%. So it's important for the Brazilian cattle producers and market to understand the changing consumer preferences and demands of countries that Brazilian cattle producers export to.
In your research, you use a number of different scenarios that showcase the potential impacts of climate transitions. What are these different scenarios that you looked at?
Yeah, so Orbitas used four scenarios aligned with between 1.5 and 2 degrees of warming to showcase the potential impacts that climate transitions could have on the Brazilian cattle sector. And they also show how different levels of climate action can create material financial risks and opportunities here as well. So on the one side, we have our least ambitious 2 degree aligned scenario, which is based on the inevitable policy response scenario. This IPR scenario is commissioned by the Principles for Responsible Investment, and it's grounded in climate transitions that are already forecast today and are used widely by financial institutions. And then on the other side, our more ambitious 1.5 degree aligned scenario considers an innovation-centric transitions and focuses on low technology costs. And in our model, this scenario drives the highest potential yield improvements and the highest financial mobilization. And the last thing I'll mention here is that we developed four scenarios, primarily because climate transitions themselves are inevitable, but the pace and scale of our collective response to climate change has yet to be seen. Using a range of plausible projections is a really effective way to mitigate the risks and identify opportunities that can come with climate transitions. And this also gives market leaders the opportunity to consider the more ambitious scenarios, and they can also ensure that they're taking all of the necessary actions to prepare for a range of different outcomes.
Many people are very concerned about the overall impacts at 2 Celsius of warming. Did you consider looking at what happens if it's 3 or 3.5?
We considered a 3 degree world as our business as usual scenario. That's a world in which we don't take additional actions to mitigate the worst impacts of climate change. And we have included the results of our business as usual scenario in the reports. I should mention here, this is part of what I said at the beginning with the future of the Brazilian cattle sector looking very different from the past. If we had a world with 3 degrees plus of warming, the physical risks related to climate impacts would be much more costly than the transition risks in that case, especially because the Brazilian cattle sector relies very heavily on rainfall for irrigation. I'll just touch upon very briefly that we did consider weather station data for the past 60 years in our report, and we're already seeing changes to temperature, irrigation, humidity, and more, which are impacting the productivity of the Brazilian cattle sector already.
Let's go back to look at one of your four scenarios then. Let's take the least ambitious of those, which aligns with keeping global warming within 2 Celsius. What are the principal risks and opportunities for the cattle sector in Brazil in that situation?
Even in a world that limits global warming to below 2 degrees, the Brazilian cattle sector could still face significant challenges, and there would be opportunities as well. So, on the risk side, there's a potential for a 25% drop in domestic beef production, which would make it difficult for the low efficiency and the emission-intensive producers to compete, especially as greenhouse gas prices rise. Forest conservation and competition for land could also lead to a 37% decrease in available pasture land, which is equivalent roughly to the size of Afghanistan. So these are significant risks. But on the opportunity side, we also see the potential for an 88% increase in agricultural capital investment, which could enable an 18% increase in yield through technology, through sustainable practices, for example. And producers could also benefit from a 19% increase in producer prices and a 9% increase in Brazilian exports of beef, which I mentioned before. And finally, emerging revenue streams could provide pathways to increase profitability and to build resilience. So some examples here could include carbon markets, integrated crop livestock systems, agroforestry, non-timber forest products, and we also looked at inputs for alternative proteins, primarily sugars and plant-based proteins. So there are major opportunities for producers to both increase efficiency and to diversify revenue streams here.
So what are the drivers then of these risks and opportunities? What are the things that are pushing forward these changes?
So in the report, we considered seven major trends that are driving these impacts. I don't think I have time to go through all of them, but I can touch upon a few of them here. We can start with the potential for greenhouse gas emissions pricing, which could drive up production costs for emission-intensive producers and also create incentives to diversify revenue through land conservation or restoration, which could receive additional payments. Land conservation measures and competition from carbon markets and other agricultural sectors could then create land constraints, which would reduce the availability of pasture land and could potentially increase the price of agricultural land in Brazil. And these higher land prices could reward business models based on sustainable yield improvements, so increasing yield on existing land, rather than expanding onto new land, which would be more expensive in this world. This would all mobilize additional investment into technology and sustainable management practices that improve efficiency, because the cost to increase technology and efficiency would be less than the cost to expand onto new land. So these are just a couple of the trends that we're seeing in our modeling, but they do show how transitions can have very real impacts on the cattle sector and the future of cattle production in Brazil.
Bearing those in mind, what are the specific actions that sector companies should consider?
I might sound like a broken record on this one, but I have to keep emphasizing that action needs to be taken early, because time and time again, when we see disruptive industry changes, it's the early movers that typically benefit the most and reduce risks. Just to summarize, I do have three main recommendations. So first, I would say incorporating forward-looking projections into decision-making is really important, because historical data can't accurately capture the extent of climate impacts to come. This will require a paradigm shift for many, but our decisions can only be as good as the information behind them. The second recommendation I have is to invest in sustainable efficiency improvements. So there are many examples of sustainable efficiency improvements that we'd recommend, but one example that we covered really heavily in the report is pasture restoration. So over half of pasture land in Brazil is at least somewhat degraded today. And we found that regenerative soil restoration practices could lead to a 310% productivity improvement, even on the most severely degraded pasture lands. And it's important to note that maintaining high pasture quality is really essential to long-term profitability, because only focusing on short-term efficiency can degrade the land and increase the need to expand on to expensive land in the future. And then the third recommendation that I'll just mention briefly is investing in diversified revenue streams. So whether it be carbon markets or integrated systems or agroforestry or the many options that we do discuss in the report, generating diverse revenue streams would really, really help to build resilience to economic shocks. And it would help to better protect the livelihoods of the producers operating in Brazil's cattle sector today. So definitely, I would encourage listeners to read the report for more ideas, because we've included recommendations for each stakeholder group within the Brazilian cattle sector. But these are just some of the highlights that I'd like to mention briefly.
You've mentioned several times the importance of early action, early movers benefit. To what extent are you disappointed that we're still talking about early movers? This has been something that we've been knowing is a problem for some time now, yet we still have to use the language of early movers. That's disappointing, isn't it?
So yeah, I think that one is disappointing, but at the same time, I want to emphasize that the physical risks of climate change or the physical impacts of climate change are much better understood in the agricultural sector than transition risks and opportunities. On the physical risk side, we already see major physical climate impacts happening today in Brazil, right? Comparing 30 years of weather station data to the past 30 years, we covered over 60 years that we covered in the report, we found that the impacts of physical climate changes are already materially impacting the sector. These are the types of changes that the Brazilian cattle sector has already contended with and will continue to contend with. But the climate transition risks are really something that is becoming more widely known as we go along. And, you know, I think this is an opportunity for producers, for supply chain companies and investors to really try to understand the full scale of risks that climate change could bring and the opportunities that they could benefit from if they act early.
Looking forward then, can you give us a snapshot as to what you expect the Brazilian cattle sector to look like in 2030?
Yeah, so 2030 will be a big year for climate transitions because, as I mentioned, over 140 countries have already committed to ending deforestation by 2030. And if the policies needed to get them there are enacted, we could see some of these climate transition risks and opportunities materialize even more quickly than we're seeing them today. And at the very least, I think the sector will have a much better understanding of how climate transitions can impact business models. and the need to prepare for both physical and transition risks. Since this is a big part of what we also hope to accomplish through Orbitas, I feel really passionately about spreading awareness of the financial impacts of climate transitions here as well.
It'll be interesting to see how things do develop over the coming years, but it's great that there are solutions emerging and there are potential upsides as we make that transition and as we deal with a world that hopefully is limited to 1.5 or 2 degrees Celsius. But for now, Niamh McCarthy from Climate Advisors and Orbitas, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me today.